Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Oh, it's going to be a good 2 hours today. Flannel panel, both hours where we talk about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. Maybe it's a slow news time, but we'll make it interesting. I promise. I know there's not much news out there, but we'll make it interesting. Let me introduce the members of the panel. I, your host, Cy Kellett, am wearing a flannel shirt. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, wearing his flannel shirt. Hello, Chris Check.
Cy, thanks for having me. Can I say a quick thank you?
Yes. I
want to say a thank you to my dear friends at Salt and Light Radio in Idaho, Keith Pettyjohn, chairman of the board, and Hope and Brian and the rest of the crew there. I was in Idaho for 4 days, four cities, four talks, helping to promote Salt and Light Radio with the Vigil Project, a great praise and worship band. And these people just are the loveliest people I've ever met in my life.
Thank you for saying. I'm glad that you said
I'm
because
quite serious.
I know that you're quite serious, and I have to warn Joe of something. Chris has been around nice people for 5 days. No, I'm deadly serious about this. That means he has pretended to be nice for five straight days. He is in a terrible mood. I just wanted Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers. Are you ready for it, Joe? Or are you ready to deal with a somewhat peptic Chris Check?
I think that's part of the theme of the show, isn't it?
I don't know.
Let him complain about the fact that I'm not wearing the right kind of shirt.
Yeah, what is that?
Why aren't you wearing the right kind of shirt? What's wrong with you, Heschmeyer?
Is that a Midwest bowling shirt?
It is.
It's called the flannel panel. Why would you?
Yes. Full disclosure, the flannel panel happens at 5 p.m. Central. And I never look ahead that far in my day to think, what's going to happen later? Like, I'm not the type of person who goes out with an umbrella if it's not currently raining.
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough, but I'm a disorganized person, and I have a flannel on, and I admit that I'm wearing the flannel because Edgar is out, and I stole it out of his office because I forgot to bring one today. Yes, this is Edgar's.
How's it I'm the only one who remembered without any help?
About a half hour ago, I was going through the offices looking for someone who had a flannel shirt, and thank goodness it was Edgar.
I need to get an emergency supply of flannels for the office. That's what my clear takeaway from this.
Speaking of which, Edgar's baby was made into a Christian on Monday.
I know, little Emilio. I love
day.
His name.
Emiliano.
Do you think he's the only baby on earth named Emiliano McGuire? I can't imagine that there's another baby whose first name is Emiliano and middle name
now,
is McGuire.
20 years from now, when he has a LinkedIn page, it'll be the only Emiliano McGuire.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to get right. Here's what we do on the flannel panel. We put on flannel shirts usually, but it is part of the charm of the flannel panel that, as Joe reminded us before the show, there's no enforcement mechanism. There's no penalty for not. So sometimes we just don't, but it's still called the flannel panel. And when we put on these flannel shirts, we talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. And I want to tell you about a text that the three of us had this morning. This will be news to everyone, including Joe Heschmeyer, because he never looks at the texts. But Joe, are you aware that we were texting this morning?
I got one text from you at 1:51 today.
All right, here's what Chris Check, he said, let's talk on the flannel panel about unconditional surrender. It's not a Christian principle on flannel.
Oh, that was last night, for the record. I don't know what time you go to bed.
No, then I responded this morning. So for me, it's this morning.
Oh, okay.
Because I do go to bed really early. I'm extremely old, Joe.
I like to go to bed early.
And I replied that I was not keen to talk about war on the flannel panel because I don't think it's our strength. I think that it's not great radio. And then Chris and I battled it out in the halls in front of the staff right before the show. So we're talking about war. But I wanted to put that in front of you, Joe. Like, you didn't respond, but like, I don't have a moral objection to it. I think we should talk about it. But I'm not sure that it's our strength.
I actually find this to be a very difficult thing. I regularly find some situation going on in the world where there's a moral dimension to it. And I think, okay, I'm not a cultural commentator, first and foremost. Like, I'm an apologist. My job is to present the truths of the faith to people about Jesus Christ. I have my own perspectives on the news of the world. And, you know, I want to be true to that, particularly if there's something that I think I can offer as a Catholic. But at the same time, I don't want to be in a situation where I either feel a compulsion to jump in because everybody else is, or to jump in a way that I don't feel like I'm adding anything of substance you wouldn't get from 1,000 other places.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think those are the things that internally I'm often kind of milling over. I think one of the things that this show, when it does well, does do well, is highlighting stories maybe people are less aware of, like the situation in Nicaragua, for example. But sometimes news is just so big, you kind of have to touch it. And I think we might be in that situation.
Okay, so Chris, let me come back to you. See, here's the thing, is I think that part of why Chris, you're incensed about the phrase unconditional surrender. You're not happy about it. It's not just because you've been around nice people for 5 days and you need something to be mad about.
No, it's true. It just automatically upsets me.
Yeah, and I feel like some of that has the fact that you were in the Marine Corps, achieved the rank of corporal, and is that right? Did I get
captain?
Oh, captain. I apologize.
Corporals do much more work.
Yeah. But you have seen the damage that modern artillery shells can do. So I feel like you have some
bombs were my trade. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did I would like to know what did you want to say about the phrase unconditional surrender?
I want people to know, because this program is news from the Catholic perspective, that unconditional surrender is not a principle that accords with Catholic teaching on just war.
And I wonder if Joe would disagree with that. But see, here I am in a dilemma a little bit, because I don't think any of us would disagree with that. And I will point out.
Maybe all our listeners are already there, and we can go on to the next topic.
But maybe not, though.
That I read in the, I don't know, Fox News / neoconservative press, Catholic authors who are enthusiastic about the next war in the Middle East. And yeah. That's not a Catholic position.
Well, let me ask you this then, because we're coming up on the 80th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yes.
Are you of the view,
we've devoted a show to this, you and I.
Right, but this is a historical question, not a moral question, that if the United States had not set unconditional surrender as a requirement for Japan, right, that we might not have been put in the position of having to use those weapons.
I'm of the view, when you say unconditional surrender to your enemy, you give him incentive to fight more.
Yeah, he can't quit.
Right.
He can't quit.
Right.
Joe, go ahead. You want to get in on this?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I would give a little bit of a reading assignment for people. If they look up Elizabeth Anscombe, G.E.M. Anscombe's Mr. Truman's degree,
yeah,
she talks about this explicitly. She says, and she's talking here about World War II and saying it was immoral to give the Japanese this demand of unconditional surrender there. And particularly, we look back at the Japanese situation, and the major thing that the Japanese were fighting for was the ability to keep their emperor, who they regarded as a god. And then we nuked them twice, and then we let them keep their emperor anyway.
Right.
And there's something so grossly immoral about that. There's this myth that, oh, they never would have surrendered, so we had to do it. Now, first of all, even if they wouldn't have surrendered, particularly unconditionally surrendered, that still doesn't give you a right to do an immoral thing. Like, the point of nuking people being inherently immoral is not it's a last resort. It's that it's never allowed.
Right. Isn't it? Right.
There's no, we were forced to use nuclear weapons. That's never acceptable.
I can see that some people might have an ambiguity about whether you can use nuclear weapons against cities, but a Catholic cannot. There's no moral ambiguity on this.
Right.
It's the same exact argument we make against abortion. No matter what the circumstances, you may not directly attack innocence. And you can easily fudge that by saying, well, we were attacking the military bases there. Well, you had the means to attack the military bases. You used the nuclear weapons to attack the cities.
Yeah, to terrorize people as well.
Yeah, including the emperor himself.
Yeah.
Morally, I think we agree on that. But And I it does strike me, this is always a good conversation to have when we come back around to the anniversary of the nuclear destruction of two cities at the end of the Second World War, certainly following years of war crimes by the Japanese. I'm not denying the brutal nature of the Japanese invasions of China and of other part of, including the destruction of Pearl Harbor, and which was clearly an illegal act of war.
The experiments they did on people in that laboratory.
I'm not denying any of that.
Unit 731. Although the head of that we brought to the U.S. to work for us. So
that's right. It's true.
Right, and that's the same. I mean, there's so many things that you don't even mention. Like the treatment of the Koreans. You could do a whole couple hours.
They cut down all their trees.
Things to prisoners of war and just innocent civilians. Right. That rival or even surpass things the Nazis were doing. So part of the story not usually told.
And we are not arguing that the war would have been better or easier or anything. We're just saying there is a simple moral calculus that you can never ignore, which is no one has the right to directly attack the life of innocents. Never, ever. And frankly, some of the big generals of World War II knew that. Eisenhower himself said he wouldn't have used that. Well, I think he called it that horrible thing.
A number of his senior generals told him not to do it, and admirals.
Told Truman not to do it. Yeah, I think I don't, yeah.
Halsey, yeah. Halsey was opposed to it. I think MacArthur.
I think, and
MacArthur, wasn't he ready to use nukes on China?
In the Korean War.
In the Korean War.
That may be, I don't know.
I mean, it could have been a moral atrophy, but.
Most people remember Admiral Halsey, by the way, mostly for the Paul McCartney song. I'm sorry, I got diverted. I lose my track.
He turned 83 today.
Admiral Halsey?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, Paul McCartney. I was going to say, Admiral Halsey was awful young in the Second World War.
Paul McCartney song is he mentioned?
Oh, you're good luck, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good luck. You're going to have to look that up. That was a big hit when I was a kid.
Paul and Linda McCartney. This is Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. What in the?
You didn't know about that?
Paul
McCartney. This is Wings.
Oh, yeah. Sheesh. No, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, he turned 83 today, and that's your attitude.
Somebody knocking at the door. So
an 83-year-old who might have been past his prime for a while. Yeah, that's a shocking idea.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention this before we take the break, and then and we could still talk about war. I had my objections to it because it has to do with this show, not with disagreeing with Chris morally, but the. It does seem to me that, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the first time Donald Trump was president, there was a day where he told the military not to attack Iran because he said it would be disproportionate.
Disproportionate.
And you and I came on the air, and I don't remember, Joe, if we were on the air with you that day or not. Yeah. And we said, that is a very Catholic thing to say. Yeah. And we were completely delighted that Donald Trump had said that.
And stunned.
So I feel like you are coming full circle now. And you don't want to laud Donald Trump when he gets it right, and then not criticize him when he says something that really is morally wrong.
I can say that the thing I most invested hope in the Donald Trump presidency was a detachment from these unnecessary foreign wars, and I am not getting that vibe from his second term.
But you must admit, it's still just a vibe. It's not an action. It's a vibe.
Well, I mean, we're paying for them.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I got you.
We're arming them.
Yeah. Well, that is a habit we have. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Right back. We're going to talk about something I don't think enough people talk about. One of the areas of injustice in the modern world that you two are going to think I'm kidding when I bring it up, but I am dead serious about it.
I'm looking forward to this.
SpaceX is involved. We'll be right back with more. Final panel on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you ready to spread your wings? Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with exclusive news, program information, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. To sign up, go to EWTN.com, click subscribe, enter your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. Get your wings today. It's the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I think we have a problem in the modern world. I truly do. And it got to me the other day because I live in a beautiful seaside town called
Oceanside.
Oceanside, which
it is a beautiful seaside.
It's named after the thing that it's next to.
You know, it's gotten better, by the way, Cy.
You think?
When I was in the Marines, Oceanside was a main gate town. You know what I mean?
Oh,
a main gate town?
It was, but it wouldn't be.
I don't know
that.
What main gate town means.
But it means a lot of Marines come into town to do things that you don't want them to do.
Yeah, a town outside the main gate of a military base.
Yeah.
Ah.
And it's the biggest Marine base in the world. So yeah. It had a big influence on. But we love the Marines in Oceanside. But it was a rough, rough town. But they've, seaside property in California is just too expensive for that. Eventually, they run off all the strip clubs and the
this is, I think, eventually how you plan to address all the crime. It's just price it out. So
yeah, make it so pricey that even the criminals can't get in here.
It's going to be all white collar crime now.
Well, so here's the problem that happened in my town of Oceanside. I was driving on the freeway, and so I did not hear this. But when I got home, the question was, did you hear that loud bang? And everybody in town was like, what's that loud bang? Well, because it was scary. It was loud. It rattled windows. And we're used to loud stuff because we're next to a Marine base. Like, they're literally blowing things up all the time. But this was not like that. You know what it turned out to be? SpaceX decided to land a rocket like 20 miles from the coast, off the coast of Oceanside. And the thing broke the sound barrier. I don't know how fast it was going, but it was. And so it made an enormous sonic boom that scared the daylights out of everyone. And now I'm so mad at SpaceX, and I don't want them to go to space anymore. And then I started reading about SpaceX and sonic booms. Every time they shoot these things up there, they bring them back down, and they hit somebody with a sonic boom. You could land them in the middle of the ocean. But it probably costs another $83, and we can't have Elon Musk paying that. So they land them off off my house. So this new rocket.
I do like the idea of a noise ordinance violation because you had a rocket land.
I know. But this new thing that they're building, they're going to shoot it off hundreds of times a year to get to Mars. It's called Starship, and it's I don't even know how big it is. It's bigger than the moon. That's what I've been told. I don't know if that's scientifically accurate, but I've been told it's bigger than the moon. The sonic boom.
Okay, let me try to paraphrase this to make sure I'm understanding your argument correctly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Cy. I'm a homeowner in Southern California, part of the privileged elite.
Oh, come on.
And I have rockets flying by my house because I live in a futuristic utopia, and I'm complaining about the noise. Did I more or less get it?
I don't know if you got the tone right, but you got the. You got the. I think the message is yes. This other thing happens to me, all right, because I live. Everyone in California lives within 8 feet. It's the law. You have to live within 8 feet of a major freeway. You are not allowed to build a house more than eight feet away from a 10-lane freeway. So this is what we hear all the time. It's motorcycles who have no. Mm-hmm. What's that thing called? Muffler.
I thought you were going to say concern for others, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or themselves, the motorcyclists.
Well, that's true. And I got nothing against motorcyclists. I think that should be illegal to make a sound that is so loud that it's waking babies up. I'm sorry. I think that should be illegal. So I think we're not taking this noise thing seriously enough. I think if we're going to live together in the modern world, somebody needs to go, look, keep it down. That's what I want. I want a president of the United States that says, look, could you all just keep it down?
I totally agree. I completely agree with you, Si.
Music from neighboring cars. Like, I want to choose the music that I'm listening to when I'm driving. If I'm hearing yours, that bothers me. I think maybe on the same level of a rocket.
So, now, sometimes, like, the music is loud, but sometimes it's ridiculously loud. Like, you actually worry, you're worried for the health of the people in that car.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
That can't be good for you. I think your kidneys are being injured by whatever you're doing in there.
Right.
And because my kidneys are being injured by it.
I mean, they might be, like, dissolving a kidney stone by vibration or something. We don't know.
But I think we act like these things are nothing. And you know what? SpaceX did. They put out a press release about this sonic boom that was outside my house. The rocket landed outside my house. That's the way I'm thinking of it now. And it was this super happy, that's the sound of, I don't know. I'll find it and read it to you. But it was like, enjoy the noise from the future or something. And I was like, I'm not enjoying the noise. Just keep it down, SpaceX. There's an entire ocean out there. Go land in the middle of it. Why are you landing near my house?
I'm going to probably irritate as many folks as I did in the previous segment here.
I doubt that, Chris. Let's take a vote. How many think that Chris is going to be as irritating as he was? Nobody. Nobody voted.
No, I think go ahead. Probably the people who are annoyed with you on the first time have also gotten mad at Elon Musk. So they're probably they would have been annoyed a month ago.
I just think an extraordinarily disproportionate amount of resources is devoted to space exploration.
Well, I don't know what the billionaires are supposed to do with their money, Chris. What are you talking about? What do you want to do, feed the poor?
There's a wonderful line in Chesterton about going to the moon or something, and this is before anybody went. But he said, for me, no one has answered the question of why you would want to go there.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
I remember when
Newt Gingrich was going to colonize the moon, and I thought, well, why don't we start with the Sahara Desert? There's oxygen there.
Yeah, I know. The Sahara Desert is a million times more amenable than Mars or the moon.
Yeah.
Elon Musk has actually been pretty clear about why he thinks that Earth is doomed, and so he wants to begin the long-term plan to create kind of an evacuation program.
Yeah, because you know why he wants to get off? Because it's so noisy here. And he's the guy making calm.
You can't hear all the noise in space.
So there's a kind of a Gnostic or spiritual or supernatural element to all this space exploration stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw a headline within the last week about we think we found fresh water on Mars, so there's probably life. There's no life on Mars. It's too cold, right? I don't know. Maybe some kind of life can live in that kind of cold, but...
This is a Jimmy Akin question.
Well, but who cares, right?
What
life on Mars could I possibly be interested in, and why?
Yeah, I think people imagine that it's sentient life, but the idea that there might just be like a different form of bacteria we haven't encountered yet.
Yeah, great.
That lowers the interest level quite a bit.
But three or four for me, yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and if I could pay a couple bucks to know that, I guess, but the billions and billions.
Right.
But I think it's all about, because we don't really want to say, well, there is actually something supernatural at work, and he's called God, right? But we want to find something else to get excited about.
I think
there's
also a kind of a frontier spirit, you know? We ran out of West to conquer, and so we were just like, well... The moon's kind of west of here, well, at least sometimes a day.
The Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
It's east.
Yes.
If you're in Egypt.
Fair, I guess.
Okay, so
You're saying the Egyptians don't have a frontier spirit?
I'm saying they don't have manifest destiny. Theirs was like up and down the Nile.
They do. It's just a different kind. But I moderately agree with Chris on this, that there's this...
I think I'm three for three.
This fantasy of space travel replaces being actual human beings to one another. I think we have this idea that somehow we're solving something by packing our problems up and putting them on a rocket and taking them with us. And I guess we have the dream that we'll leave our problems behind, which have a basic acknowledgement of human nature, and you would see that's not the case. But, and I will say another thing about it. All these people who think space represents freedom, you know what space represents? Complete and total slavery to corporations. When you are on one of those rockets, you are property. Even your oxygen will be someone's property. You are not going into space to be liberated. You are going into space to be fully integrated into a corporate structure that you will never escape.
But if you're the richest man in the world, a multinational
corporate structure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But so all of that, okay, I'm fine with that. Although I am not negative. If it could be done without bothering me, I wouldn't be so about it. But I think a completely different issue is the fact that we have to live together, billions of us on a planet. And I actually do think noise is a problem. And I'm going to give you another one, all right? A story today in the news, Walmart is taking retail to new heights, literally.
Oh my gosh.
With the expansion of its drone delivery program. No, thank you, Walmart. What? This is what I'm going to hear for the rest. Every time somebody wants, I don't know, a bag of rice, I'm going to hear, bzzz. This is going to make the world unbearable. Do we have no sense of humanity? Like, what is this? The answer is no.
It's once again, like, it's the people in the working class who are being replaced by robots. They're usually the ones who lose out by automation. Mm-hmm. And, they are going to just find themselves replaced by the impersonal, Amazon drone. Or the Walmart drone.
This is a Walmart drone.
But there's something. So Amazon's been working on this for years now.
Yeah.
And it's clearly the goal. I don't know if you've been following any of the controversy with Duolingo, but they just replaced a bunch of their humans with robots to try to translate language for us.
Yeah. I want to talk about that, but neither of you will take me seriously on the noise thing.
I'm with you, Si.
I want to discuss that. We'll do it when we get back. Cat Against the Slap. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme, Go Make Disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Si Kellett, your host, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. Our guest, Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers and author of a whole bunch of great books, including The Early Church Was the Catholic Church and Pope Peter and The Eucharist is Really Jesus and many others. Every now and then we get together and talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective, and I am deadly serious about noise. And here's my thing is I feel like we're sometimes perfecting a world that is also perfectly inhuman. That's just unbearable. And I don't like it.
So I think you're making a very good point about noise. I think it goes, I'd like to take it a little bit deeper. It isn't just loud noises, for example, like the motorcycle that you're describing or the drone or the sonic boom. Those are distracting and irritating. But we live in a world of constant noise.
Yeah, like
there's like what I would call the enervating din, you know, of modern communication technology.
Yes.
And so it's very hard for us to be collected, which is sort of the posture we need to pray. I recommend a book for our listeners by Mother Mary Frances Poor Claire from New Mexico, written in the 60s, called Spaces for Silence. And Mother Mary Frances argues that we spend most of our lives living with someone that we really don't know very well, and that person is ourselves. And we get to know ourselves in silence, and in particular in silence before God. It's a superb series of meditations. My friend Dan Kerr gave me a copy of it. But imagine the world Mother Mary Frances is writing in the middle of the 60s. You've got, you know, the television and the radio or something. But we're always near noise and often surrounded by noise. And often, as you observe, Sai, you know, not of our own choosing. Somebody's got their, they're in line at the grocery store, they're watching a YouTube video or whatever it is, or the music from someone's car. Or why does a car stereo have to have more decibels, is that the word, decibels?
Yeah.
Than the first Beach Boys concert, you know, it's insane. Right,
and I'm sure that it does.
Oh, no, 100% true.
I'm sure that you're actually right about that. 100%
true. It's nuts. We're not going to get collected and know ourselves, much less God, if we can't get in the habit of being quiet. Here's another, as long as I'm in the soapbox here, when I became president of Catholic Answers, kind of to deal with the stress of the job, John Sorensen started taking me out on these mountains to climb around, and then I would start hiking. And when I first started doing it, I went in with the earbuds, this is so stupid. I'd have music in my ears, you know, and it kind of does make you move faster and get your heart rate up and everything. But I was completely oblivious to the natural beauty that was around me. Because you shut off one set of senses. Once you remove the earbuds, all the other senses come alive as well. And I started recognizing, because if you come to Southern California, you've never been here or lived here, all the shrubs look the same, especially in July, right? But actually, it's a very biodiverse.
Because they're on fire.
Right? So it's a very biodiverse county. And then all the different smells and the sounds of the birds, and there are many different kinds of birds out here. And so all the senses come alive when we turn off the noise.
Well, I love you saying that, and I don't think that you're on a soapbox at all about that. And Cardinal Sarah wrote that beautiful book on silence.
Yep.
But it seems to me that we only have a mentality of rights.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk has a right to shoot his rockets and make his sonic booms and all that. But we never have the language of the common good. And so the guy on the motorcycle go, I got a right to ride. Okay, like, I don't want to hurt your right to ride your motorcycle, but there is such a thing as the common good. And if you've got your big, beautiful hog with no mufflers on it, you're really upsetting people. Like, I'm not saying, like, this is a minor inconvenience. Like, there are people in their homes who are, you know, like, just try to imagine that not everyone is like you. Some people are vulnerable. Some people are babies. Some people are seniors. They can't handle what you can handle as far as the noise goes.
Sai, that is some of the best life advice I've ever heard.
Well, try to imagine
that. Try to imagine that. You should give a graduation address.
Yeah, right.
No, really, it would take about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Graduates, I want to tell you, try to imagine not everyone is like you.
Right. Because, you know what,
you'll spend the rest of your life doing this, by the way.
There's no defense against, well, it's not that loud. It's, you know what? Ask other people if it's loud. The world is not looking for your opinion on it when you're riding your mufflerless motorcycle through people's neighborhoods. You need to ask them, is this too loud? Because every single person is going to say, dude, that is so far too loud. Like that, you have no concern for the common good. And that, somebody told me, well, you need it to be loud because motorcycles are dangerous and people will hit you. You know, they need to hear you. I don't dismiss that argument. That's an important argument. But would the motorcycle people listen to the other side of the argument, which is, and I believe the other side of the argument is, every single one of us hates you. So I mean, no, that's not the argument. That's not a moral argument, but you...
Well, you know, that, and not to denigrate a great American company, but those Harley-Davidsons are made to sound that way. There is a special effort right. to make that loud, throaty sound.
By the way, if I could ever take a drive on one,
I would love to. It'd be great.
They're wonderful, cool. magnificent machines. It's yep. beautiful to see someone riding one. Yep. It doesn't belong next to an old folks home or a hospital or if you're riding all those places. Joe, save me from myself.
I think the whole thing is part of this broader idea that we have rights and no duties, which is very much the American way of framing everything. Is I've got the right to do X, Y, Z, and there's no real way of conceptualizing a right without concomitant duties, which is just a fancy way of saying. If I've got the right to do X, I'm saying you have the duty to let me do X. And if all of our rights are in that form, it's a problem. Like, you have to have positive duties to care for other people, not just to stay out of the way as other people do self-destructive and obnoxious things. And so, yeah, I think there is this a very good example of the very thing you were describing. Maybe 10 years ago, there was a fad of putting whistle tips on the end of mufflers to make them louder, or on the end of exhaust, excuse me, to make them louder. So it'd whistle when you would go. And there's a pretty famous interview with a guy by the name of Bub Rub, where he was very excited about how loud they would get. And then when pressed on the, well, isn't this annoying to the neighbors? He said, well, you should be up and making breakfast. And completely blamed the neighbors for waking up.
And
there was something so surreal about the whole, like, the defending the indefensible in like the funniest way possible. But yeah, I think this, the kind of rudeness, this isn't just a suburbanite kind of complaint. This is part of just recognizing what it is to live in a society that you shouldn't treat other people this way, even if you legally can.
Yeah, right. And whenever you think of your rights, you should also be thinking, does whatever I'm doing serve the common good? Like this is one of the greatest things the Catholic Church has to teach the world, that you're responsible for the peace of the world. You're not outside of responsibility for that, and you're responsible for the good of others. Like there's a common shared good, or there's no goods at all. All of it goes away if there's not a common shared good.
Do you know the one place where they do enforce the noise ordinances?
Singapore.
No.
Oh.
It's probably. But in the United States, it's on the sidewalks outside of abortuaries. There you absolutely have to keep your voice down, and it can't raise above whatever it is, 30 decibels.
I didn't even know
which
that.
Which is, our friend Paul Jonah points out, the ordinance is so onerous. It's about the amount of noise a home refrigerator makes or something like that. So this is in California anyway.
Right. Outside an abortion clinic.
Yeah, you have to keep your voice down. That's the one place you do have to be quiet.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, but you can...
I would like to see the lawsuit between an abortion clinic and Elon Musk for the sonic boom.
Yeah, I don't think it applies to rockets, only people who are trying to save babies. Yeah.
Which sounds extremely close to an intentional First Amendment restriction.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, right. It seems very selective, doesn't it? Like if a selective enforcement, isn't that by definition harassment?
Well, it is unconstitutional to do viewpoint discrimination contrary to the First Amendment. This has been, and so they'll say, oh no, you can't say anything. You can't say anything pro-abortion outside the abortion clinic either. It just so happens.
Well, in England, you can't think. You can't think.
You can't pray silently. It's too loud for England.
That's right.
Yeah. It upsets England if you pray silently.
You can't
silently.
Think pro-life thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, they just passed worse abortion laws than they already had. They're going in positively the wrong direction, and it was a small minority that it withstood it. A lot of the Muslim MPs actually tried to stand up against it. So credit where it's due. It's unfortunate that so many self-described Christians wanted to kill off the next generation.
That's so depressing. There's so many layers to that. But that's a right. We can't speak about the common good. Is this good for us that we live in a society where we don't say no to anybody? I think that's what it comes down to is, and I feel like today the Supreme Court might have said, no, you get to say no to some people, like people who want to cut off parts of young women's bodies. I think the Supreme Court, Joe, you're the lawyer, but it seemed to me that what that decision meant was, no, we can say no to that. Like, if you can't say no, your society is defenseless.
So here's the difficulty, Cy, with your common good, and I know you and I share a definition of that, and Joe does as well, but I venture to say that it's getting increasingly difficult to have a common definition of it. So what is good anyway, and what's common? But I would say we have a common objective to help one another find his salvation, and that should be our point of departure for whatever's the common good. But well, I think I'm in the minority.
I think you are. That's right. Because if you don't have a shared view of what the truth is, or even that there is such a thing as the truth,
yeah,
then arriving at the common good seems almost impossible. I have always been so. I love Pope Paul VI, and his letter Evangelii Nuntiandi. He says the pornographers have more rights than the evangelists. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing what he said. Like the evangelist is told, "No, you go away, you be quiet, you can't." But the pornographer is told, "Oh, we can't say no to you." I just don't like. What happened to us as a society that we can't just say no to some stuff? Like, no, we're not doing that. You got to say yes to everything.
I strongly encourage our listeners. Paul VI is known, of course, for Humanae Vitae, but that apostolic exhortation on evangelization is superb. And by the way, our friend Tim Staples is building his conference talk around that.
Paul VI?
Yeah. Yep.
It was Tim that introduced me to that letter, and I'll never be the same. It's that good.
It's brilliant.
It's so good.
I want to say something that's got a lot of potential red meat in there, more than I intend. But Jonathan Haidt has a piece in the New York Times, I think today, and one of the things that they did is they interviewed parents. So if you're not familiar, he's the author of The Anxious Generation, and they asked parents, when I think about my child's experience growing up, I wish blank had never been invented. And then they asked about all sorts of things, and some of them are really bizarre. So 9% of people thought they wished bicycles had never been invented for reasons beyond me, maybe bicycle accidents. But the ones that he was focused on were like the social media. So 62% of parents say they wish TikTok had never been invented. But actually the number one thing that parents wished hadn't been invented, do you know what it was?
Is it the television?
The screen?
The pornography. 72% of parents said that they wish pornography had never been invented. And it occurred to me that politicians, if they were savvy, would tap into that and say, hey, we're going to regulate this industry really heavily or try to outlaw it completely. And 72% of Americans who have kids are behind that, at least on paper, and at least make people decide, do I care more about my lust or my children? And I think it would be worth seriously pursuing. But yeah, as you say, Cy, there's more rights given to them than the person bringing outside the abortion clinic. And you think, which one is doing more damage to people by literally any measure? And it shouldn't take a moment to figure out the answer to that.
Yeah, and I don't think that, like, if you want to oppose me with speech, I don't care. I think I do believe you have the right. If you want to speak against God, if you want to speak, say whatever you want. But that's not what pornography is. Pornography is not speech. Pornography is when it's presented to children, it's child abuse.
Poison.
Is what it is.
It is.
Like you, this is not. So I if you want to argue with me about pornography, I don't want to stifle your speech or quiet you down. I don't want pornography to be anywhere. Like this should, it's abuse from beginning to end. Now, do I think that it should all be outlawed and all? I mean, I think you'd have to refer back to Aquinas's distinction between immoral things that should be illegal and immoral things that should be legal. But it's certainly we're not even having that debate. We're having a debate about how, like at the extreme periphery of what the human being can even tolerate as far as images, should that be allowed or not? That's how extreme.
Right. You could heavily regulate with a combination of age verification. You could have penalties for adults who expose children intentionally or negligently to pornography. And if you really regulated that and enforced it, you would see a sea change, I think.
Five years ago, we were all over ourselves trying to eradicate or prevent the effects of a virus And pornography is a vastly, vastly worse virus. And it's one, by the way, that we could eradicate if we want to.
And I think Joe's right. There is this weird thing about very powerful minorities. And sometimes they're religious, powerful religious minorities. I mean,
I don't know where you're going with that. So, no, I'm just kidding.
But the pornography industry, even if it's just 28% of people who are full-throated, you know, they use the term sex positive to make it seem like everybody else is against sex or something. And it's actually really sex positive to not use pornography. I just want you to know, or to not take 18-year-old girls and enslave them essentially in this life, you know? And, well, 18 is an adult. Okay, I don't know how many 18-year-olds you know, but whatever legally is the case, you should not be doing that to young girls. And you're a creep if you are, and all of that. But the power of that minority is disproportionate for some reason, and I think a lot of it has to do with, frankly, major news media. They're afraid to take it on because they work for companies that are profiting from it.
The other thing with a lot of unpopular industries, you'll have a small group of people who are doing something they make a lot of money doing that most people are opposed to, but not very actively opposed to. Like, they kind of wish it didn't exist, but the people who are making millions of dollars off of it or more are much more motivated to fight for its continued easy access than ordinary people who just have the souls of themselves and their children to worry about are interested in opposing it. And so that's kind of on us. Like, if we were as motivated and organized to fight against it as the people who want it are in favor of fighting for it, feckless politicians would give in, not out of any principle.
Oh yeah, politicians,
just because that's where the winds are going.
Right. People talk about how corrupt politicians are. That's because human beings are corrupt and weak, and all.
Right.
You have to make them do the stuff that you want. But I do think too, though, there's a secret sauce that that's in the mix here, and that is that every modern human being, and maybe all human beings through all time, are terrified of people rolling their eyes at them. And we just don't want to speak up because we think we'll be embarrassed because someone else will go, oh, you're a prude. And then the minute they label me a prude, somehow my life is destroyed. And we just need to be brave. We need to go, no, just stop doing that.
Well,
I don't care what you roll your eyes or what you call me. Oh, I got to take a break. Darren's ordering me to take a break. Right back with Chris's point after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul street evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
I figured out what is bothering me about the space travel creating all these sonic booms and ruining people's day is that there's a total lack of concern for the common good. I finally found the language for it, which got us talking about pornography because it is, as Joe pointed out, is the great offense against the common good. It's even worse than noise pollution, which I am in high dudgeon about. So, Chris, you were going to make a point.
I was just going to say, Si, because you brought up the question. You brought up the reality that so many people are concerned about being judged badly or having someone roll his or her eyes at them if they express a moral position. For the so really all I was going to say, actually, it's in Mother Mary Frances in Spaces for Silence. She makes the point that for the Christian who knows and has put his trust in the God who loves him, the opinions of the world suddenly utterly disappear.
Right.
They completely go away.
Do you, you know what? Sometimes I think, Chris, it actually is because you get a different audience. You replace that audience. And now you're like, when you get an audience of like, oh, the saints in heaven are actually watching me. Like, if you actually come to believe that, or the at the moment you just don't feel like you're like, oh, that's the audience I got to please. And I think that's a big part of the Catholic faith, actually, is the knowledge that, they're cheering you on.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know. Let's try to meet their standards and not the world's standards.
Yeah, and by the way, these topics, difficult as they are to talk about, are the real opportunities to evangelize.
That's right. Yes, that's a very good point. And we all need, again, go back to Paul VI, Evangelii Nuntiani, one of the great letters of the modern church.
Right.
Check it out. Are we gonna have any more?
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead,
I was just going to say, it's a little bit like marriage. You know, like when you are dating, you have the terrible pressure, or particularly when you're not yet dating but would like to be, like trying to be appealing to the most number of people possible and just like, how do I get my act together and all of that? And one of the beautiful things about being in a relationship and certainly being married is you kind of have an audience of one.
Yeah.
And the spiritual life is similar, where you have an audience of one now. And as long as you're making God happy, the saints in heaven are rejoicing at your decisions, you're good to go. And so it doesn't matter if that's not the taste of the broader populace. Everything else fades away in the background.
That's one of the great things about marriage is you're only disappointing one woman. You know,
yeah,
is that what you're saying, Joe?
I mean, I'm probably disappointing a lot, but I only care that I'm disappointing.
Yeah, you only care that you're disappointing one woman now. I feel like I should have mentioned at some point that we're going to do a flannel panel in Europe.
We are. I feel like
I neglected that. I apologize.
It lasts something like 10 or 12 days.
10 or 12 days with the flannel panel on the
Rhine
River.
It's a very long flannel panel.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk. Wait, we won't talk the whole time.
the Catholic Rhineland. What is the date for that? It's May of next year.
May 2026.
Yes.
It starts May 2nd, I believe.
It starts in Amsterdam. And goes upstream, even though on the map it looks like it's down. It's actually going up, right?
Yes.
Ends in Basel. Cologne has one of the most magnificent cathedrals in the world.
And the three the three wise men.
Hildegard of Bingen.
Yep. Doctor of the church.
We'll travel through St. Boniface's country. There's so much rich Catholic history here, so many beautiful churches to see, magnificent cities of Europe. Here's the other thing, Si. This thing is a whale of a deal. The price to come on it, and you know, depending on what cabin you get or whatever, it there's some difference, but it absolutely covers every single thing. So all your meals,
mm-hmm.
your room, and all the shore excursions.
Oh, everything's covered. You're not paying for anything.
Yeah, you got to pay to get there. I think you got to.
No, once you've paid.
You start walking now. You'll make it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but soup to nuts. It's all covered by the fee.
And it's the best river. I actually have looked this up. I can't remember the name. It's what's the name of the cruise? The line.
Oh, Amma. Amma.
Amma. Is that how you're supposed to say it?
We used them when we did the Danube. They're superb. I'm just going to say they're better than Viking.
But that's what everybody says, they're better than Viking. Yeah. They get higher ratings than Viking cruises. And you know who uses Viking cruises? National Public Radio.
Oh.
Is that true? I'm surprised they're not offended by the word Viking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Go to CatholicCruise.com and you can find out all of it.
CatholicCruise.com.
CatholicCruise.com will get
Joe Heschmeyer, Si Kelly. And we have a superb chaplain from the Norbertines, Father Sebastian Walsh. Who is a regular guest on your radio program?
Yeah, we love Father Sebastian Walsh, a great Norbertine priest and the author of beautiful books, including Secrets from Heaven, the book that we give away all the time. Whenever we have someone on the air that I think could use some spiritual consolation or some silence, some interior peace, I give him his book, the Secrets from Heaven.
The whole boat. Is Catholic Answers. We've charted the entire boat. So everybody on there is a flannel panel fan.
except for the actual members of the flannel panel who are not fans of any of the other members.
No, everyone there loves Jesus, loves the Catholic Church. You're gonna be in the company of good people. Yeah. And having a great time, a spiritually rewarding time, enriching, and CatholicCruise.com. The boat, I think we've already sold almost a third of it, so.
Okay, well, CatholicCruise.com, go and find out all about it. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, you guys will tell me which story you want to do first. We can do the big news story on why is the Catholic Church hot, or the headline is, why is the Catholic Church hot? Why is the Catholic Church suddenly cool?
The air conditioning broke.
whatever language, we're very popular. Catholics are very popular right now. We're going to dig into those stories and why is that. Pope Leo talked in Chicago. He wasn't there in person, but he was there on a video screen. We could talk about that if you want. Catholics are everywhere. Four out of seven Catholic adults in America are directly affected by a Catholic in their family. We can continue to talk about space travel, pornography, or sonic booms if you want. We can get more on motorcycles in. We can talk about war if you want. But also the Sacred Heart of Jesus this month. You gentlemen will tell me which ones you want to talk about when we come back right after this on the Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.